أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to Living the Quran Through the Living Quran, a series in which we are reviewing the commentary of the Noble Quran as authored by Sheikh Mohsin Qiraati in his Tafsir al-Nur. In this new series, we'll be going over chapter number 53, Surat al-Najm, the chapter of the star. Now, before we go into the actual commentary and the verse-by-verse analysis as authored by Sheikh Mohsin Qiraati, we wanted to offer an introduction to Surat al-Najm so that we can better understand this chapter, the history behind its revelation, and the benefits of its recitation as well. Let us begin with what Sheikh Mohsin Qiraati mentions in his commentary. First off, this chapter has 62 verses and was revealed in the city of Mecca, and is one of the chapters of the Quran which contains an obligatory sajda, a wajib sajda within it. The name of this chapter has been taken from its first verse, in which God takes an oath by the star. There is a reference to the status of the divine revelation, the wahi, and the method by which the Quran was revealed to the heart of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, contained within this chapter. In addition, just as is seen in Surat al-Isra, chapter number 17, there is also a mention of the night ascension into the heavens, the event of the Mi'raj of the noble Prophet of Islam. Another portion of this chapter is in regards to the superstitious beliefs of the disbelievers, in regards to the idols and their worshipping of the angels, and in that vein they have been reprimanded for these beliefs and actions. However, that which is the main thrust of this chapter is the focus on the resurrection day, and the state of the righteous doers and the evil individuals, and also a way to know the criterion of the punishments and the rewards of the divine. Now, to better appreciate the depth of this chapter, although it's very short, we also want to delve into what His Eminence Sheikh Nasim Makarim Shirazi has written in his Tafsir Namuna in regards to the understandings of Surat al-Najm. So before we conclude with this brief introduction, let us have a listen and review of what Sheikh Nasim Makarim mentions in his commentary so that we can further prepare ourselves to better appreciate the content of this surah. According to some scholars, Surat al-Najm is the first chapter, the first surah, which was revealed to the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, after he began his open propagation of the message. And historians relate that actually the Prophet read this chapter out loud in Mecca in the sacred shrine in the Masjid al-Haram. Upon the completion of the recitation of this chapter, both the polytheists and also the believers who had heard the Prophet reciting this chapter, they all fell into prostration to God, to Allah. According to a group of commentators of the Quran, this chapter was revealed in the month of Ramadan in the fifth year after the open appointment of the Prophet. Some commentators have stated that this chapter is the first one which is revealed to the Prophet, which contained a verse which, when read or heard, necessitates an obligatory prostration to God, a sajda. However, according to the well-known opinion which states that Surah Al-Alaq, chapter number 96, was revealed before this chapter, and the fact that Surah Al-Alaq also contains an obligatory prostration, sajda, at the end of it, thus the opinion that Surah Al-Najm was the first chapter revealed to the Prophet to contain the obligatory prostration is not accurate. In any case, this chapter, as it was revealed in Mecca, contains discussions in regards to the principal beliefs, especially that of prophethood and the resurrection, and is a chapter which employs a constant threat and warning to spiritually awaken the disbelievers. The content of this chapter can be divided into the following seven categories. Category number one is that after the meaningful oaths taken by God, the beginning of this chapter clearly speaks about the reality of the revelation and the direct communication which the Prophet had with the conveyor of the revelation, the angel Jibrail, Gabriel, peace be upon him, and the fact that the sanctified Prophet speaks nothing other than divine revelation. Point number two of this chapter is that in another portion, the night ascension, the Mi'raj of the Prophet is discussed, and a portion of the journey has been conveyed through the usage of short, yet very meaningful verses. And this discussion is in itself a direct relationship. It has a direct relationship with that of the divine revelation, the Wahi. The third portion of this chapter deals with some of the superstitions of the polytheists in regards to their idols, their worshipping of the angels, and other issues which all stemmed from their following of their whims and desires. And all of these incorrect beliefs and practices of theirs are rebuked, and they are warned that they should not be worshipping such things. And this is further proven through the usage of strong logical proofs. In the fourth portion of this chapter, the way of turning back to God after committing sins, the act of tawbah in repentance for these misguided individuals, and in general all sinners, has been discussed. And they are given the glad tidings of a spacious forgiveness. And a point of importance has been further emphasized in regards to the fact that every single person is responsible for their own actions, and no one can carry the weight of the sins of another person on their shoulders. In order to complete the goals of this chapter, in the fifth portion, a brief discussion on the issue of the resurrection is brought up, and clear proofs for this belief are presented by relying on what can be seen in the creation of this world and what exists therein. In the sixth portion, as is usually seen in the Quran, there are some points mentioned in regards to the painful outcomes of the previous generations who took an adversarial approach to the truth and were rebellious and obstinate, such as the nations of Ad, Thamud, Nuh, and Lut. And this is done so that those who have fallen into spiritual heedlessness, ghafla, can be awoken. Finally, the last portion of this chapter deals with the command to prostrate to God and to engage in worshipping Him. One of the unique qualities of this chapter is that it contains very short, yet unique verses which, if could be understood, can have a deep impact on the individual and can awaken the sleeping hearts and souls, and to spiritually elevate them into the heavens. In regards to the merits of recitation in this chapter, the traditions mention the following. In a hadith from the noble Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, we read that he says that the one who recites Surah Al-Najm will be given a reward of 10 good deeds, 10 hasanat, for every person who believed in the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, and for every person who disputed with him. Now, in another hadith, this one from the truthful Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, we read the following, that the one who is habituated to reciting Surah Al-Najm daily or nightly will live a blessed life, a life of Mahmuda, that he will live a blessed life amongst the people and will be forgiven for the sins and will gain the affection of the people of the society. Now, without a doubt, such grand rewards are only for that person who uses the recitation of this chapter of the Quran to think. And then they begin to act righteously and they try to put the various teachings of this chapter into practice in their daily life. Let us conclude this introduction, and in our next session, we will actually begin the commentary of chapter number 53, Surah Al-Najm. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.